Well, oh, sure, your father may be going through a little bit of a midlife crisis, but I worship him, and I adore you kids. You've both been under so much pressure lately. What with the cotillion coming up, babe? Get some sleep. Grandma's coming over real early. We have some terrific presents to open, and may visions of sugar plums dance in your heads. You're never too old to hear that, kids. Sweet dreams. Love ya.
Ouch. Ouch. 90.3. Ouch.
During the holiday season, all Montreal service organizations are faced with extremely large demands. They desperately need donations of food, clothing, and also your time. Please give what you can. Several local community organizations are hosting holiday meal celebrations at no charge. However, reservation by phone is necessary. On December 21st, the Benedict Labre House is offering four separate meals starting at 11:30 a.m. Call to reserve 937-5973. On December 24th, the Salvation Army Family Services is holding a dinner for single women only at 2050 Stanley Street at 3 p.m. Call 288-7686. Also on December 24th and 25th, Face à Face will be hosting an open buffet from noon to 8 p.m. at 1819 René Lévesque Boulevard on the third floor. Multicaf is holding a large dinner on December 25th at Café Campus at noon. Call 733-0554. On January 1st, the Welcome Hall Mission will be giving a free meal for men only at noon at 1490 St. Antoine. Please contribute if you can. For further information on these events, call 398-6787.
We're on. Hi.
hot canned fruit compote.
Mom.
We rehearsed that.
That's what we did. 398-4616. If you want to come call in, tell us about your Christmas. Tell us about, actually, what we'd really like to know. What are the tackiest Christmas recipes in your family
that you have been subjected to
year after year?
That's right.
Thomas, you have a particularly good...
Oh, I have a great selection in my family, yes. We have the... Well, every year we have this Scotch shortbread that's made with processed cheese, which I think originally it was...
Mmm!
Exactly. Originally it was made with real cheese, but somewhere during the 1950s...
Are you talking processed cheese food, or...
Well, you know, it's one of those processed cheese products. It's called McLaren's Imperial Cheese. It's made by Kraft. And I think sometime in the 50s, my grandmother decided it would be much easier to use this cheese rather than real cheese to make these shortbread cookies. So, of course, that's the recipe that was handed down to my mother. And you eat them. They're little round cookies, and you eat them covered with this little currant sauce that you have to spoon on from this special container.
Oh my God, I'm tingling.
This is not the
then the second thing are the jellied aspics and salads, of course. There's this sort of ordinary tomato aspic, which always appears at the Christmas table, but then there's special tomato vegetable aspic. What you do is you take tomato soup, lemon jello, and Lipton's tomato vegetable soup and make this wonderful jellied molded salad that goes in, you know, those little molds that you flip over, and they're kind of fluted around the edges. And they have, and they're made by Tupperware, and they have these separable tops, so you can have a top that has a Christmas tree, or you can like have for different holidays of the season. I think there's one with a star. Very festive, yes. So when you take the jellied salad out of the mold, it has a little Christmas tree. And there's also the lime jello, nuts, marshmallows, and fruit cocktail jellied salad, which you can make. Well, it's the same thing, except that you take lime jello, Philadelphia cream cheese, marshmallows, and canned fruit salad, and make this nice, nice jellied salad in the same kind of mold.
That's so Chatelaine.
That's very, yes. But the pièce de résistance,
oh, yes.
Yes.
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without this. What is it, Mom?
Well, we all love sweet... choking on my wines.
Sweet taters.
sweet potatoes or yams, which are actually not the same thing. They're completely different, but they taste the same.
But they come out looking the same as mom you can gets use, them.
You can use one or the other, but what you do is you mash your sweet potatoes, and you put them in a casserole, and then you cover them with a layer of Kraft marshmallows. Then you slip them into the oven just before you're ready to serve Christmas dinner until the marshmallows are kind of melted together and they're golden brown on the top.
I saw that one on the TV. I saw that one on the TV Kraft commercial.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a Kraft recipe.
It sounded just
it's
like
an original Kraft recipe that was handed down generation.
You mean to tell me that a corporation with the resources of Kraft food can't do any better than this?
Well, no.
They
the whole
incorporate
idea.
As many of their foods into one recipe as possible. Yeah.
So, it's very logical, actually, if you think about it. Anyway, so...
Sounds logical.
Yes. I don't know. You were talking about Japan.
Yeah, in Japan, the Christmas cake is the strawberry shortcake.
With the really spongy.
It's really thick and heavy on the sugar. I mean, it's virtually composed of whipped cream. I mean, there's nothing. There's no cake. It's only whipped cream a couple of strawberries planted in the center. And you see
why, though? Why is this particular cake?
Oh, because this is their... actually, I do know why. I'm going to get a little more into detail about that later on in the show. Do stay tuned.
Does it have anything to do with Anne of Green Gables?
Yeah, well... I do understand that Japan has about half of its land only focused on Anne of Green Gables and the architecture of Anne of Green Gables.
Well, the airport in Charlottetown, PEI, has signs up in three languages, English language and Japanese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well.
Like, they're flooding down there in their little pinafores.
Well, apparently, that's the place to go on your honeymoon. Yeah, if you get married, you go to Prince Edward Island for your honeymoon because they love Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, or they go to Disneyland because Disneyland is now the world's number one honeymoon spot.
Really?
Yep.
Disneyland or Disney World?
Florida.
Florida.
Disney World.
Disney World. That's
okay.
Disney World, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Epcot Orlando. Center and various theme parks and the hotels and the golf courses and the swimming pools and the saunas. And, okay.
Barbie and Ken went there for their first three marriages.
Yeah.
They did.
Who?
Barbie and Ken.
Oh.
They went there for their first three marriages. Oh, Barbie! Tell our listeners about her fabulous new festive, Christmas hairdo.
Well,
This is a gift that you got, Deborah.
I did. Now...
Your first Barbie.
It's my first Barbie ever, and I've never really liked Barbie. I've never had a Barbie, but ever since I discovered Barbie's CV and I've started spreading the word about Barbie's various careers, Barbie information has been flooding to me.
Well, she's been a fashion model and an airline hostess.
She's environmentally
she's
conscious.
She's an
animal rights volunteer.
Medical
doctor.
But tell us about her hair.
Right.
That's
doctor?
What we want.
What's she wearing?
What is
okay,
Barbie wearing?
Okay, I received
this
Barbie
to...
She is wrapped in it's white Christmas paper with sparkles on it, and very tastefully
sparkles are so
held up by pink and lavender
curl ribbons
around her waist, around her neck, and her hair is an exquisite hairdo, a sort of a French braid bun.
But no, but it's much
the
more
French
than
braid.
That.
It's kind of like, I don't know
it's
what
kind
the
like
words
a mushroom
are.
Cloud it's French like braid.
It's a bouffant. It's a bouffant, but it's braided. Yeah, it's a very nice bouffant,
very, very
but
nice.
Braided.
Very
and it has two ribbons in it.
Yeah, and I suppose she's an older model because her elbows don't move, her wrists don't. All she can do is salute, basically.
Oh, it's the war
and
period.
She has her eyelashes painted on. Too.
Yeah, and
it's
she
lovely
also has
face.
A.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a smile on her nose. She's
and we
smiling.
Should point out that Barbie is topless in her wrapping
this
paper.
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm.
It does
but
not
she's
have
nippleless.
Any nipples. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Barbie
not
never
not
has genitals. We all know that.
Back to the theme of food. Now I have heard fruitcake. Apparently, fruitcake has the same density as mahogany wood.
What? Really?
Imagine that. That's how dense.
Well, you haven't tasted my mother's fruitcake. It has the density of granite. I mean, I think that's the real, the good Christmas fruitcake. But the fruitcake you get from my mother in the mail, which she still sends to me, along with her Christmas puddings, which is another family recipe. No. But the stuff I get from my mother in the mail is actually authentic family recipes.
Oh, no doubt.
They're very heavy. Very.
So you would say that your fruitcake is the density of mahogany wood?
At least, yes.
Okay, that's true. What I'm saying is the average fruitcake.
Okay.
It's the density. Some are more dense, some are less dense. But the idea of eating...
And his fruitcake has a half-life of 7 million years.
That's right. It's going to be around for a long time. In fact, I think she's just made one big fruitcake, 25 years ago.
Oh, and just two slices?
Yeah, I don't know. My mother still has her wedding cake, actually, in the freezer.
Really?
Yeah,
is it in wax?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I'm too frightened, but she still has it. The bottom of her freezer, she still has a big chunk of her wedding cake.
Wow. Yeah.
Does your mother's cheesecake have that white, like, cream cheese icing that's like glue on it? Do you ever have that?
No, my mother makes Kraft cheesecake. Philadelphia cream cheese and lemon jello, but... Do we have anything more on food?
One more food item. There are something like, there are going to be 1,800,000 cookies left for Santa Claus this Christmas Eve. Or that's the average over the past Christmas Eves. You know how children leave Christmas cookies for Santa and the reindeers.
But did your parents eat the cookies?
Oh, well, I never even left cookies for Santa.
Oh.
But well, Santa always came anyway.
Well, we left them, and there were always, like, crumbs left, and the plate was left there with the sort of milk and that has been,
really?
Been drunk. Everything, yeah, it was...
Fooled
mystical.
You, eh?
Mystical. We were fooled. We were really
teaching,
fooled.
Teaching children the value of bribery at an early age is important.
No. The magazine.
We had, sorry, I didn't mean to.
But I will anyway.
I'm Greek and I don't know if this is a Greek culture or custom, but we had to put our slippers outside our door, our bedroom door. Yeah. And it would start on the 1st of December. See, we really cashed in early.
Great.
We were smart. And we'd put our slippers outside our bedroom door, and of course every morning some form of an angel or Christmas spirit would come and drop chocolate coins and little dinky cards.
Cool.
And yeah, it was great. I still try and do that now, but I don't seem to reap in the rewards I did then, but it was a great
experience. How long would this last? Like,
up until
days?
The 24th, and then you really cash in.
Thank you. Really
absolutely.
your shoes
this
wouldn't
is,
be enough.
This is just a prelude to what Christmas is all about. You know? So
I like this.
We never had to leave cookies either. There was no expenditures in our
cars. We didn't have to, no.
No, well. Not at all. No.
Onward.
The magazine cover to catch this month definitely is Esquire.
Oh,
my God.
Who can tell? Who can describe this for us?
Okay, we've got Madonna in, I suppose, what is something of medieval garb. She's got a really big smile on her face with her tongue just below the teeth, sort of between the teeth.
She's got that Marilyn Monroe look.
That describes it. Marilyn Monroe in medieval gear. Yeah.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. And she's got this fat, cherubic baby.
But his face is
like
a sporty.
Any Renaissance paintings, Madonna and child.
Yes.
It's a camp
version of these Madonna and child paintings.
And then we should point out that the background is really a horribly painted scene.
but it's supposed to reproduce one of those sort of your typical Renaissance painting of
Madonna
and child. But here we have Madonna with a capital M and child. And then if you flip in whatever page it was, I think it's 144, you can see the Christmas card, which again has her holding the child, and the caption is,
"What do you mean, who's the father?"
And Madonna laughing, yes, of course.
That's
so that's definitely the magazine, so rush out and look at Esquire
on
the newsstands.
Is there an article
now
with it, or just
it's just this publicity stunt, another Madonna publicity stunt.
It's a good one, too.
And we have Madonna with Santa Baby.
Baby, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Rex on the lawn, said to baby, and hurried down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Ba-doo, ba-doo, Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring. I don't mean on a phone, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
This is Phantasmagoria's Top 20. To get back. What's yours? Phantasmagoria at 3416 Park Avenue, corner of Sherbrooke, where music is king.
Oh, we were having a little fashion chat, sorry.
Well, that's no, it's because we just found another reason to buy this month's Esquire, which is on page 182, the new Versace jeans. Which, well, we can't decide whether you should buy it just for the models or for the jeans.
The models are really very lovely. Big ol' hooters.
And what are their names, Peter?
Yes.
That's Romeo, that's Adrian, that's...
we're not fashion tags, but we're doing our best.
But the jeans are really nice, too. They've got this, like, op print happening. They're quite cool.
Yes.
And, of course, like, the hooters on these
optical illusion jeans. They're black and white with all these swirling patterns. When you look at them, your
delight
eyes just
without
go,
the
whoa.
Color.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is, delight without the color. And, of course, he's very butch.
Very butch.
Wow.
Models.
Well, Bill,
so.
I wouldn't say they're butch. Catchy attitude on this queen.
So we're pushing this magazine, but there's another magazine here floating around in Deborah's lap. There's a couple of magazines.
Okay, well, the first...
Harper's?
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Harper's?
There's nothing I could read to you from that magazine. It's all...
Oh, sure you could.
Well... This is from Harper's Magazine, and the little title of this blurb is called "Tis the Season to Be Clumsy," and it's from a list compiled last July by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission of injuries related to Christmas decorations sustained last year by Americans. The commission surveys hospital emergency room records to determine whether certain ornaments or other decorations should be recalled or banned from sale. So I thought I'd read them. They're really kind of silly, but
tis the season to be silly.
Also, this, I mean, this is kind of reflects America. Patient fell off of table onto Christmas ornament. Minimal contusion of the ankle. Patient was putting up Christmas lights and fell off roof. Fractured the humerus.
Oh, now that's a portrait Rockwell forgot to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, really. Patient fell off wooden stepladder while putting up Christmas lights. Fractured
Thank you, Joan.
What part of one's body is that?
Calcaneus.
Well, maybe we can guess. I don't know. I mean.
All right.
Anyway, they fractured some bone.
Cast iron blunt object, a Christmas decoration, fell off a ledge, causing laceration to forehead. Patient was holding glass ornament in hand, and it broke.
In his hand?
In his hand.
Oh, my God.
Patient's mother states that patient accidentally swallowed Christmas ornament. Mm. I suppose I've heard of that happening.
Accidentally.
Oops. Patient cut mouth on a glass snowman that was on the floor, causing a laceration to the tongue. So the ornament was on the floor, as was the patient's tongue. Yeah, and somewhere in between there, the glass snowman broke and lacerated the tongue. Patient was beaten by her mother because she knocked down a Christmas ornament.
An antique Christmas ornament. Actually, that happened in our family. I mean, we weren't beaten, but we did have these very, very old glass Christmas ornaments that we had inherited from who knows. And we broke one. I remember one Christmas, and my mother just freaked out because they're quite valuable. But anyway.
Do you think insurance premiums go up during the Christmas season?
Generally?
Well,
based on this. The dangers. The dangers of Christmas ornaments. I mean, they are.
Electrifying.
True.
But Tom, did you get over it?
Well, I don't know. something you'd have to ask my therapist. Go on with the list, though.
Okay. Patient Staines states he was walking down cellar steps to get Christmas decorations and missed a step, fell down flight of steps, admits to 6 beers.
He was honest.
No, that means he probably had about 12.
Yeah, he admitted to 6. Patient cut finger on ceramic Santa at home. Patient cut scalp on nail while putting box of Christmas ornaments away in the attic. Patient reported strain to lower trunk, picking up a box of Christmas ornaments. Patient swallowed a Christmas tree ornament. Patient then vomited. Patient lacerated hand on knife making Christmas decorations. Patient reported right thumb pain, noticed swelling of thumb, had been working on Christmas wreaths at home.
Watch those Christmas wreaths. Christmas wreath strain.
Patient put Christmas tree ornament in left ear.
Oh, great.
Must be a pretty small ornament.
And this is a good one. Patient swallowed a jingle bell at school.
Does that mean if he rang as he walked along, he jingled?
Jingle, jingle.
That's a really good way to get into the Christmas spirit. Just swallow those jingle bells.
You seem to be...
Ding dong.
Missing part of the posse.
That's right.
Well, that's all the accidents we have. Do we have any of our own accidents?
Christmas accidents?
Yeah.
Dangerous time of year, that's true.
Nothing's really happened. No fires?
No, our next door neighbor's house burned down, but it wasn't at Christmas.
That's not the same thing, I suppose.
No.
Well, this isn't exactly Christmas, but it's Christmassy.
Christmassy,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Tints of the Times.
Good.
From color cards distributed over the past 3 decades by Benjamin Moore and Company to help customers choose paint colors. So we move, right, we've got the late 60s, and this group of cards, color cards by Benjamin Moore, they're called the bold ones. So you can choose from ecology green, far out blue, mad turquoise, and then groovy, whatever, they don't give you any clue, yeah. I want
groovy!
To
I wonder what color that was.
They probably give you an injection of heroin and then you find it groovy.
Right. It's whatever, it's probably white.
You get hit. This is a paint company. Still. Get high off the
You never know.
Go, go green. Swing in red.
Swing in red.
Live it up yellow. And green happening.
Green happening.
I like that.
I think that's the color I had my room painted
in
the
late 60s.
Green
happening.
I had this green and it was really happening in my bedroom. My sister, she had live it up yellow.
Oh, you figure, yeah. Mid-70s, the now colors. Sounds of Silence.
That's a color.
That's a good
that's a color. Probably beige. Clockwork Orange.
Oh, my
God. I Am Blue.
I Am Blue.
So what is that? What does that mean? That means it's like a state of mind or something?
Self-actualization color.
Oh, I see.
You know, like there are
the
all
now.
Those like I Am seminars and the sort of S seminars and that.
Right,
so.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's probably developed by Abraham Maslow.
What else do we have?
Linus Lilac. Magic Dragon. Generation Gap.
Imagine having your apartment painted in Generation Gap.
Here Comes the Sun. Probably a very bright, cheery yellow. Cosmic Blue. Oh, that's Janis Joplin.
Oh, yeah.
Cosmic Blues.
With a K and a Z.
Cosmic.
Spelled good, this is K and a Z.
Yeah. Tijuana Brass. Mellow Yellow. Kinky Pink. Denim Blue. Far Out Color. As opposed to far out blue of the 60s.
This is like a range of all colors, which really turned out to be brown. Right. So it's
an electric coffee. Now we move to the late 70s, the naturals and the earth tones. So here I imagine we have a lot of variety of beiges and taupes and...
Ecru.
Khaki. Fern leaves. Pungent herb.
Pungent herb.
Indian curry. Topsoil.
Topsoil.
Fertile field.
They don't have shit.
Just disguise.
Compost heap.
That's in the fertile field. Barley. Earth sign. Field of flax. Paprika. Quarry dust. Autumn rye. Zesty clove. Now the late 80s, early 1990s is a return to elegance.
I had a note.
Of course.
Taupe tone, saber gray, blue diamond, Putnam ivory, Bar Harbor Beige, Silver Mink, Gibraltar Cliffs, Gray Pinstripe.
Pretty butch color.
Mauve Mist, and Kittery Point Green.
Kittery Point Green. A lot of these are geographical names. Mm-hmm. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Elegant places to evoke. Mm. Well, we have an elegant place coming up on a song, I think.
And this is from Venus Envy, what we talked about earlier. And it's a rendition of O Little Town of Bethlehem, and it is called...
O Little Town in Michigan. Would you hit that, please? Hello?
Find some other profession, he thought. But how else could I possibly make a living? My only other talent is my voice. Aha, that's it. Music. I will go to Bremen and become the town musician. So he set out for Bremen. And he had been walking for just a little while when he saw an old hound lying in the road. gasping and panting. "Hello, old fellow," he said. "Why are you breathing so hard?" "I've been running," said the hound. "Running away, that is. I'm too old and weak to hunt, and my master doesn't want me anymore. And how am I ever going to earn my bread and bones?" "Well, now, I happen to have an answer to that problem," said the donkey. "Why not come with me? I'm going to Bremen to be the town musician. I will play the lute and bray. And I can beat the drum and bay. Not bad. I will go with you." So the two musicians went on toward Bremen. They hadn't been long on the road when they met a cat sitting on the path. And his face was as long as a rainy week. And his whiskers were drooping and trembling. "There, there, old shaver," said the donkey. "Don't cry. Nothing can be that bad." "Oh, can't it, though," wailed the cat. "Meow. I used to be the best mouse catcher in the country. But now I'm too old and can only sit by the fire. What am I to do? Where am I to go?" "Come with us to Bremen," said the donkey. "You're a born serenader, and we'll make a rousing trio." "Who, me? Me? Me, meow?" "Well, perhaps it would work. Let's try it." So the trio continued on toward Bremen. Soon the animals came to a farmyard, and on the gate sat a rooster, crowing with all his might. "Now that," said the donkey, "is a truly magnificent crow." "I am singing my heart out," said the rooster, "while I still can. I have just heard the farmer's wife say that tomorrow I go into the soup kettle. This is my last crow, but it will be my best. How fine it is to meet a musician who takes pride in his work," said the donkey. "But why stay here and make soup when you can come with us and make music?" Happily, the rooster agreed, and the four friends went on together toward Bremen. When evening came, they decided to stop and look for a place to spend the night. The rooster flew to the top of a tree, and in a moment, called down, "There's a light up ahead." They soon saw that the light came from a window in a house. The donkey tiptoed up to it and looked in. "What do you see?" asked the rooster. "What do I see? I see a room filled with riches, a table covered with good things to eat, and sitting at the table, a band of robbers. Well, perhaps we can earn our supper here. Let us think." So the musicians worked out a plan. The donkey went back to the window and put his forefeet up on the sill. The hound jumped up on the donkey's back, and the cat leaped up on the dog, and the rooster perched on the cat's head. Then the donkey rapped the sill with his hoof. At the very first note of the town musicians of Bremen, the robbers screamed in fright, leaped to their feet, and ran out into the forest. The four minstrels agreed that their performance had certainly earned them some supper, so they went into the house, sat down at the table, and ate as if they might never see another meal. Then they carefully put out the light, and each found the sleeping place that suited him best. The donkey stretched out on some straw in the backyard, the hound curled up behind the door, the cat lay on the hearth, and the rooster flew to the rafters of the roof, and soon they were all sound asleep. Meanwhile, the robbers were huddled out in the forest, but when it was past midnight, they crept in closer to the house. "We were foolish to be so frightened," said the leader. "We can't leave our house and our treasures just because we heard a noise, no matter how horrible it was. We can't leave our house." And he bravely ordered one of his men to go back and investigate.
The robber tiptoed back to the house and slid in the front door. It was dark and silent inside.
by the hearth, he saw what he thought were two live coals, and quietly he reached over to light them. But suddenly, the coals were the glistening eyes of the cat, who flew into the robber's face, spitting and scratching. "Help!" cried the robber, and ran for the back door, but the hound leaped up and bit his leg. "Help! Help!" he cried again, and ran out into the yard, but here the donkey gave him a hearty kick, and the rooster, jumping up and down in the rafters, crowed at the top of his lungs. The robber ran back to his leader as fast as he could. "There's a dreadful witch sitting on the hearth," he said, "and she spat at me and scratched me, and by the door stands a man with a knife, and he stabbed me, and in the yard lies a black monster, and he beat me with a club, and on the roof is the judge, and he roared, 'Caught the rascal, did you? We must never, never go back again.'" And they never did. But the house suited the four musicians so well that they never left it, not even to go to Bremen. And they lived there happily for all the rest of their lives. Once in the old country, a long, long time ago, a hungry fox came to a meadow in which there sat a flock of fine, fat geese. "How nice," he said. "I can see that I have arrived just in time for dinner. And you're all sitting together so neatly that I can eat you one after another without even getting up between courses. Thank you very much for your courtesy." But one of the geese stepped forward and said, "As everybody knows, Mr. Fox, geese are slow and stupid, and foxes are quick and smart. But perhaps you would grant us just one favor." "And that is?" asked the fox. "Before you eat us, let us say our prayers." "Very well," said the fox. "That seems reasonable enough. Pray away. I'll wait till you're done." So the first goose began to pray. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And before she ever finished, the second goose began to pray. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the third began, and then the fourth. And soon all the geese were praying, one by one, and in duets, and in trios, and all together in a great chorus. And then, one by one, again. When the geese have finished praying, I'll tell you the rest of the story. But until then, just like the fox, just like the fox, we'll simply...
Announcements. We're on. Okay, that was, that was just a little Christmas treat. The musicians of Bremen, well, actually, it's not exactly Christmas, but it's still a nice story, and it's filled with animals and fairy tale fable-like things. Okay, it is 7:16, and this is Dykes on Mics and Queercore joining together for a Christmas special, and we've covered a lot of material up to now.
We've drunk a lot of wine.
Some have.
Touché.
If you notice that we're slurring our words a bit.
Guess this sound.
I'll have some too.
Oh yeah,
me too.
Now we had a sound contest earlier, and nobody called in.
Can you believe that?
Perhaps it was just too mystifying.
What are you people doing?
It must be a blizzard out there.
Boy, when we have something to give away, you call pretty fast.
But we have no prizes. So we are going to now talk about, we have compiled a list of cheap, last-minute gifts. And one of them is, well, here, listen.
Oh, we're not doing Guess the Sound. We're not asking.
Well, this is Guess the Sound, yeah.
This is one of the gifts.
Guess the Sound.
Just one head.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Let's do it again. Instant replay.
Yes. Sounded great.
Now, we could tell you gift is.
But it's really the ideal gay and lesbian Christmas gift.
Why is that, Thomas? Tell us why.
You know. You're the one that brought it up.
Okay, what this gift is. Now, what we've tried to do is compile a list of things generally under $3. And some of the best deals that you can get tomorrow, if you have to. So the one that you just heard, the suction sound, is a sink plunger. Now, it's quite a remarkable item. It's not as, the handle isn't as long as your traditional plunger. It's quite a bit small. It's quite cute, in fact, quite manageable. I can put it in a briefcase.
Like a toy plunger.
It's a good, yeah, well, that's what we're getting to. Okay.
A toy plunger.
I won this at a party a few weeks ago, and...
Really?
Yes,
what
I did.
What was the contest?
Well, it was a Name That Cat contest, and my the name for the cat was chosen. My name.
What was the name? What
Lance.
Was
Lance.
The cat.
It sounds like a character in a Gordon Merrick novel.
Anyways, because my name was chosen, I won a sink plunger. And the mood at the party was quite festive, and for whatever reason, a number of women were wearing very low-cut shirts and dresses and things, and one woman plunged it, stuck it to her chest.
And then pulled it off.
And then pulled it off. And,
and
well,
made
she
that
found
suction,
it. She,
though, that?
Yes, and it left a red mark as well.
Like a hickey.
Like a hickey, like a big, big hickey. She found it most erotic, mm-hmm. and she encouraged everybody else to do it, and so people did, in fact, do it. So people were unbuttoning their shirts and sticking it to their chests and their backs and their neck, and it was
other unmentionable places.
Yeah,
too.
So, you know, as well as being used for your sink, I suppose it's kind of a massage thing. You
sex toy.
And then the handle, of course.
And then the handle, of course.
A condom, I mean, you're all
a
set.
A condom on the handle, and you have a rather stiff...
But one might be concerned about splinter.
Well, yes, you put a condom on top.
It's very well sanded down. It's fine.
It's very smooth. Now, you can get these at Rossi's. I think we all know where Rossi's is. At. They're having a Dollarama. And so on one side of the store, everything is $1. And right. You can find
only on one side of the store.
Yeah, it's just one side of the store. Everything else is, I don't know, priced differently, but one side of the store. And that brings us to the dollar stores, the proliferation of dollar stores. The first one, I think, in Montreal, or that I saw anyway, was at the Peel Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Oh, so there is more than one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big phenomenon.
Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's one on Saint-Laurent, and apparently there's going to be that's Saint-Laurent now between Pine and Prince Arthur, and there's going to be another one, apparently, a little bit further up Saint-Laurent. Mm. And there's a few others around town. And I think it's a pretty good sign of the times, you know?
Absolutely.
Those places are full.
Yeah. When I went yesterday, it was the only store on Saint-Laurent between Prince Arthur and
Pine
that was full.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really busy.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sort of useless, tacky things in there, but there are also some practical items. There's lots of kitchen stuff, if you need anything for the kitchen. I mean, they really are only $1.
You can even get Aquafresh for $1.
No.
Yes.
Aquafresh? You mean the mouthwash?
The toothpaste.
Oh, the toothpaste.
Yeah.
For $1. A
absolutely.
Tube.
Absolutely.
Really?
The tube looks a little squashed, but that's okay. Looks like it's been trampled on, but it's still there in volume, I'm sure. Just turn
it's
up.
It's only $1.
And it's only $1.
Or some things are less than $1.
So
that
you
is,
can
you
get two for $1.
Right, two or three things for $1. So there's a variety of kitchen stuff. There's some bathroomy things, toiletry items, soaps.
There's school items.
School
paper,
items. Pens, right.
There are dictionaries.
Really?
Dictionaries.
Yeah, dictionaries.
For
imagine
$1.
That. For $1.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
My God.
Paper, tablets, writing paper, envelopes.
Yeah.
And there's a little a children's section as well.
Toys.
Toys.
Mm.
Yeah.
$1.
Yeah. And
excellent.
What I picked up was this nifty sort of imitation Nerf ball, which sort of looks like it's a multicolored soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only $1.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good for kids and adults, but it's the sort of thing you can fling about the house and not worry about breaking anything.